Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 92, recorded on Friday, 9th March 2012. The XXX episode. Mike McGowell joins Darren and I to discuss the XWorks server offering 6 months on, the new OpenNTF XPages development contest, a new and improved XPages.info site, and community efforts to improve IBM Connections documentation. All that and more, coming right up. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com.
Well, hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. Here we are for episode 92 of the weekly roundtable discussion about all things Lotus and IBM Collaboration Solutions. We are delighted, as ever, to have Darren Duke on. Hi there, Darren.
Good eve, 1 hour earlier. Morning, Stuart. How are you?
Good, thank you. And only about 4 hours after posting last week's 12.
Well, 1 hour earlier and 1 day later, so I guess that makes us 23 hours later.
Yeah, something like
25
that.
Hours later. Yeah, 23, yes. It's early. I haven't had any coffee yet. This is going to be a long podcast.
Go get some caffeine and we will crack on. We are delighted to have a friend of Twill on again this week. We have Mike McGowell. Hi there, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stuart. Welcome. Thank you for having me again on This Week of Lotus.
It's fantastic to have you on, Mike. Tell us what you do and who you work for.
I'm a collaboration solutions developer. So I work with IBM Lotus Technology. And in these days, it's mostly XPages for Sarnowski Display Services, which is an exhibit services company that's headquartered in Chicago, which is where I work.
Fantastic. And I think you're also involved in one of the local user groups as well.
I am. I'm vice president of Granite, the Chicago-based Lotus user group. And I help out with various other community efforts within the during the year. For example, the Blogger Open at Lotusphere and the upcoming Midwest Lotus User Group Conference.
And I want to commend Mike on all of the stuff he does at the Blogger Open. He wrote an application this year that made me win, but then... But then they told me it didn't actually add up right, and I was good at it.
That was a beta test for the upcoming Illinois election. So the voting couldn't be quite right. And I didn't make sure we could adjust it.
I'm going to win that too. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. So
it's awesome. I'm nowhere near current enough to be in Illinois.
It's awesome to have you on, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got some really good topics to go through this week. So as usual, we'll spend about 50 minutes or so talking about the topics of the day, have a real mixed bag this week, and then we'll have some tips, and that'll be the end of the podcast. So fantastic that you're with us, Mike. Let's kick off with XWorks server update. So who wants to start with that? Darren, do you want to kick us off?
Why not? So Ed had a blog post this week where he was kind of saying, you know, where do we go next? With the XWorks server, it was the server the community built, quote unquote, I think is what he said. And I think IBM are a bit miffed about the lack of take up, or maybe the lack of awareness around it within the. I wasn't quite sure if it was in the ISV community, within the greater Lotus community, or within the world in general. It was a bit vague on that. But, you know, I still think the XWork is a good solution. I said at the time when it came out, I thought the 4x4 was going to be a problem. And I think that is maybe the biggest hindrance that the XWork server has on the take-up. Because while it may not be a limitation on many applications, I get the feeling that a lot of people think it will be a limitation at some point. And there's also some, you know, talk about, well, what's included. Have a normal Domino apps, a team room, a discussion database, or as IBM has renamed them now, social business databases, which may be taking the word social business one step too far. So I think there needs to be some clarity, and also, you know, it was a pretty well commented blog post that I did, and the link's in the show notes. So at the last look, there was something like 24 comments, I think, give or take. And there's some good comments in there, but I think it's classic chicken and the egg. If people don't know about it, how will they build on it? And if people aren't confident to build on it, why will they come to it? So I think they just need to maybe look at the 4x4, maybe move that up to, you allow 16 databases, it doesn't matter what they are, and maybe release a restriction for social business databases, quote unquote, and I think that'll help. Secondarily to that, there was, you know, this morning there was a tweet bag from Wild Bill where he said, you know, can IBM really be a bit miffed on the take-up or lack of take-up on Xwork if they don't market Xwork Server? And again, I think this goes back to the whole IBM, you know, do the individual products need their own marketing campaign, and where does Xwork fit in that? Because it's not part of the domino moniker. They tried to specifically keep that out of it. So it might be a dog with no home, for want of a better word. And I think they just need to take a long, hard look and see where they want to take it next.
And Mike, I know you're not an ISV per se, but you're certainly more on the development side of things than we are. What are your views on this?
Well, when I look at what the restrictions on there, when it says 4x4, I immediately get confused. And I really wish they wouldn't do that. I wish they would just go with 16, because then if I were trying to build something on that box, I would want to make sure I was within the license. But something like 4x4, there's a lot of interpretation in there. And anytime you have interpretation, then you might worry about, oh, I might need lawyers involved or something, and nobody wants that. So I wish they would change that. I wish they would maybe look at the competition. I did see some comments in there that pricing might be an issue, you know, if there's cheaper alternatives. If IBM really wants this to get built up, I think they need to price it lower than the competition, which is kind of a classic marketing idea. Just get yourself out there, get people used to it in, you know, in any way they can. And if they can offer it to different communities, maybe some nonprofit communities, just to get it out there, get people using it, I think that would really help raise the awareness that even an Ed blog says it's not where they expect it. And I agree that it does need some kind of marketing campaign, and, you know, just to get it up there. I think if there's no awareness, or if there's a lack of awareness, then that proves that they need to do more marketing and more advertising of some sort.
I think, as ever, you kind of, if you look at this as an outsider and wonder what IBM needs to do, you kind of think they have to act more like a startup with it. You know, this is a new product going to market, therefore you need to market it, you need to build awareness, you need to seed the market as you would do as a startup. You know, you don't see a firm backed by venture capital going through these kind of hoops that IBM are trying to work through with Xwork. But then we know the reality of IBM and some of the issues they have around lawyers and around incumbent user base and around partnerships they have with business partners who need to make their margin stuff. And you kind of see that within those restrictions, IBM really does have its hands tied in terms of how it takes Xwork Server to the market. And I'm not sure how they get past that. You know, I would love them to. I would love, you know, even to give away Xwork Server for free, on the basis that it then sells some hosting, or it then sells some, you know, other services in terms of implementation, or in terms of upsell to other members of the Lotus portfolio. But I just can't see IBM ever doing that, because they've got, you know, their shareholders to keep happy, they've got their business unit targets to meet, and so on. And I don't know. What's the answer? IBM is competing against smaller, more nimble vendors and against open source, and yet it seems like it's trying to do that with its hands tied behind its back.
And it's competing against itself, don't forget, which is IBM's classic catch-22. Like you said, there was a lot of talk about giving it away to nonprofits, but I wouldn't be surprised if a nonprofit organization is not a big swath of sales for Utility Express. So I can see the reticence to go down that path. But I think there's got to be a middle ground, and, you know, that businesses will pay for support. Individual users or two to three people company generally don't. So what about, like you said, Stuart, maybe seed it, give it away for free, you know, either you're less than 25 users and then you've got to buy the full version, or you just say, you know, there's no support included, there's a server, if you want to buy support, then it's exactly the same price as what buying XWork would be. And I think what you'll find is most hosting companies and most corporations would do that because they want to be able to call someone and get an answer to a problem.
I tend to keep coming back to Atlassian, and I've blogged about this a few times. I don't know whether you guys have seen my post. It's probably a year or so ago. But they do this deal where you can buy 10 users for $10. So basically there is a contract, a transaction that goes on between the customer and the vendor. So the vendor knows who the customer are. They can build those relationships and deal with it. But it's small enough that almost anybody can, you know, chuck it on their business card, on their charge card or whatever, and not worry about the cost. And I do wonder whether that's a way forward. It is to make the nominal start cost so small that, you know, people just don't even think about it. And maybe that's, you know, maybe it's just for four applications or you know, four databases or however they want to do it. Say that's, you know, that's $10 or $100 even to get you started. And then there's, you know, there's a bigger cost to move to something bigger. But there has to be a way that people can get into XWork easier than having to find a business partner, you know, get a Passport Advantage contract. I don't know whether you can buy it online now, but I've got a feeling you probably can't in any easy, manageable way. You certainly can't just throw your credit card at it.
It's only sold through ASL.
Okay.
Or predominantly sold through ASL. And I don't think that necessarily is a problem, you know, but you've got to convince the ISVs to use it and sell it above whatever else they do, because very few shops are just IBM Lotus shops now. That's a thing of the past. So you're going to go with whatever's easiest, whatever's going to get past the gatekeeper. And, you know, the price of free Starbucks coffees is going to get past the gatekeeper pretty quickly.
I would certainly say so. And Mike, one thing that has come up in some of the threads on Ed's blog and other places is the branding of XWork Server. I think the name seems to have been well received. It's, you know, it's short, it's snappy, it means something to most people. But there's no, you know, the logo isn't particularly well known. There's no logo for X Pages, as far as I'm aware, just yet. Do you think that whole kind of branding and image is important for IBM to work on?
Oh, I definitely believe so. That is something that it needs. They need to get into people's minds and stay there and make it aware. So they need to be in more magazines. They need to have something very. They need something unique to them that's recognizable. And I really like the name XWorks. And you know, if they just had a slogan like "Works just works," you know, or "The web just works," or something like that, then if they marketed that, that would give them something to hang on to and add on to that. And I don't even think there was anything at Lotusphere on XWorks, was there?
Well, and I think that's maybe the idea, isn't it? I think the fact is it's somewhat disjointed from Domino in all but what it actually is. And the only time I heard it was Richard Moy stood up and asked the product managers or asked developers and asked a very good question about, are you going to allow us to build installer files for XWork so we can dump our NSFs with the same next button, and instead of installing XWork then having to come back and cross certify and do everything like that, let us build an installer script that builds out the entire Domino server in one fell swoop. And I think that is an excellent idea, because then you further remove the knowledge of what the underlying platform is. It is what it is, you know. It goes back to chicken and the egg, and I think Carl Tyler put it quite well in his post, where he's like, look, if you don't market it, no one's going to know about it. If no one knows about it, the only way to fix it is market it.
Yeah. It's an interesting challenge, and I think Ed's brave to kind of blog about it, and he's gathered some feedback from that, so I hope they go away and make some changes to make it more competitive with some of the other solutions out there, because, you know, your point is well made earlier on, Darren, where you said that things have changed. You know, it no longer is IBM in its own little glass house where customers are only IBM customers. You know, almost every customer that's doing application development is going to have, you know, a load of platforms in there and know about a load of platforms they could move to, whether it's open source or whether it's other vendors. And I think it's in a pretty competitive space right now. Let's move on then. So also announced relatively recently was the third OpenNTF development contest. That's again sponsored by We4IT and it's hosted by OpenNTF. Mike, I know you've entered some of these contests in the past. Is this something that, that captures your attention this time around?
Oh, yes. They always capture my attention. The fact that they're giving prizes out now for contributions, I think, is a great way to get people involved. And it adds some incentive. And they really upped it this year, this year with this third contest, because they now have two categories. And they're going to have two winners in each of those two categories. So there's going to be a total of four winners. And the winners, they have one for custom controls. These are, of course, XPages contests. There's one for custom controls. They're worth, the winners will get $800 for those. And there's an application category where the winners will receive $1,600. And the winners will get Amazon vouchers or payment on PayPal, whatever they want. They made it much more flexible in terms of the prizes, which is very nice. And I expect that there will be a lot of great contributions like there have been in the previous two contests.
And I think it's an excellent idea making it very internationalized from the Amazon vouchers or PayPal. I do like the idea about the iPad and whatever, but, you know, it takes a while to get them in people's hands. Whereas, you know, once you're the winner, you choose Amazon or PayPal, and within a couple of days, $1,600 or whatever the local equivalent is in your account. And I think that's a lot smarter and easier way. And, you know, me and Stuart can talk about this because we've given away books before that have to go to places like Vietnam, and the shipping far outweighs the value of a book.
I think it's fantastic. Obviously, I have a bit of an insider view being on the board of OpenNTF right now. But there's been some real discussions going on in terms of how these contests are put together, what the prizes are, you know, what sponsorship is available and so on. And I have to say, I am just overwhelmed by the fact that We4IT are stumping up this much money as a first pass. And also that people are so... Yeah. Eager to generate some really great X pages controls and applications that are available to everybody within the community. You know, it's so easy to develop something yourself and use it within your company. But actually, and Mike, maybe you can talk to this, the effort of putting it up on a community site isn't straightforward. You know, you have to worry about licensing, you have to worry about some of the other aspects of how you document it and make it available for other people. It's not necessarily a simple thing to do, but the fact there are so many people willing to do that and the OpenNTF community is willing to kind of sponsor that and make it happen. It's really great.
It is. And there is some work involved getting it up on OpenNTF that, say, I'm not used to, I'm not used to providing screenshots for applications or writing documentation. I probably should be, but in my normal workday development life, I don't have to do that. But it's good to do that, and for me, since I'm usually finishing things at the last minute, it's always a rush to get that stuff out there and meet the deadline for the OpenNTF contest. But I think it really helps, and I think it's a great requirement because it helps the people that are using the database in the future to know what it's supposed to like, what it's supposed to do, because that's something that's always been missing on earlier OpenNTF projects, and a lot of them. Sometimes you weren't sure what was going on, if you were doing things right. And this really helps. And I think this helps the adoption of the new applications and the new controls. And it's not hours and hours and hours of work. It's 2 or 3 hours more of work. And if you for things like the license notice, there's a license and a notice text file, doing those, they're very short. Once you get them, and once you do it the first time, then in the future everything goes by much quicker.
And to kind of give you a what the benefit of is of this, I had a requirement to put for a end customer to download some files for something, and their email server would not let in anything greater than, I think, 5K. It was insane, the limit they had. So I went out to OpenNTF. I downloaded Declan's file sender. And if I'd have read the instructions, I would have had it working. But I didn't read the instructions, and it didn't work, so I went into the designer. And what you see is interesting is that even Declan's excellent file sender application uses another OpenNTF control I think it was off 30 Christiansen, but if I'm wrong, I apologize for that, for the file upload. So it really is expanding what people are doing with this. And I think it allows you to get the applications built that much better when you don't have to build every single individual component all by yourself. And it was eye-opening and very refreshing to see that's what Declan did. And it was, once I read the instructions, it worked fine. And if you're looking for something like that, FileSend is an excellent application. And actually, I installed Upgrade Pack 1 on a server, and it worked flawlessly, even though it was built for the original extension library. It still worked as advertised, and I think that is a powerful, powerful selling point for this platform.
The other side to these things, I think, is in terms of personal profile. You know, we regularly talk about the benefits of speaking at user groups and Lotusphere in terms of raising one's own profile within the community. Obviously, blogging as well is a big thing for that. But I don't think there's anything better than actually, you know, generating something that's of value to the community in terms of coding. And if you can develop a NextPages app or even a control that other people make use of, it's only going to help your career prospects in the future. There's all sorts of benefits, not just winning $1,600, which most people wouldn't turn down. But also, I think in terms of raising one's own profile in the community, I think it's a fantastic way forward.
And if anybody is willing to turn down $1,600 if they win, me and Stuart will split it between ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of OpenNTF as well, one of the sites that OpenNTF runs is xpages.info, something that that many people in the OpenNTF community have contributed to and move forward with. There seems to be a new look and feel on that site this week, I think.
It looks very much like Connections, doesn't it? Which I think is, what, One UI 2.1? It's kind of hard to keep up with One UI, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah. They're using that theme, One UI V2.1, and then they made some changes to it. But and I expect the rest of OpenNTF to follow suit, because that seems to be the look that IDEM is going for all their for all their applications.
Is XPages Info a OpenNTF site or is it an IBM site?
It's a OpenNTF run site.
Okay. I like it when you go in and I've got the profile on the left-hand side of an XPages developer. That's actually quite funny.
And I think this is something that's worth kind of pointing out, is that OpenNTF very much used to kind of be a repository for code, and that was what OpenNTF stood for. I think we're seeing more and more the guys that feed into OpenNTF are creating some fantastic content as well as just code that people can download. You know, just looking at xpages.info, there's a huge amount of really valuable information on here that isn't available anywhere else in terms of resources and links to other places and obviously blog posts by Nicholas and others as well. So, if you are interested in xpages and you're not a regular reader of xpages.info, I think it's definitely something you need to get on board with.
And they've got the links out to Stack Overflow. And I'll be honest, I hate Stack Overflow. It is the worst user interface on the planet. It makes notes look great from R3. but it does seem to be that's where the community, not necessarily IBM, but the community is pushing the request. And I think that Stack Overflow is a destination for everybody else. And I think it's good from an XPages standpoint to get the questions out there. But I personally hate Stack Overflow.
I don't think you're alone in that. But as you say, you go where the people are, don't you? It's just the same as social networks like Facebook and so on. You go where your community and where the answers to your questions are. So I can understand why we're pushing in that direction. And talking of documentation and websites, there's been some talk in the community this week about Connections documentation. Now, as somebody who's a Connections person, I would never say that IBM has done a 100% wonderful job of the Connections documentation. There's certainly some holes in that. But Paul Mooney and Geb Davis have started talking about pulling together a whole set of videos and documents around how to deploy a relatively standard Connections environment. Mike, Darren, do you think that's going to be a useful thing for them to do?
I think it's great that they are volunteering to do this, but I think it's a really huge job, and I don't envy them at all. And I think it's a great opportunity. If IBM were to help them, it'd be a great opportunity to prove how social they are, because that proves that they're listening to the community, and if they can get other people in IBM involved to add their knowledge into it, I think then they could end up with a fantastic project.
I think IBM's own agility is killing their ability to produce quality documentation. Not that they produced quality documentation before that. But, you know, I did a free 301 connections install a couple of days ago. And I was tweeting about how long it took and you know, what the missing pieces were. And, you know, I think I even had a rant where I said, you know, apparently a wiki is what now absolves software corporations from writing good documentation because they just throw it out there and expect people to update it. And I think that is specifically wrong because we're not paid by IBM to do this. IBM have people that should do this. And I think it's great for Paul and Gab to step up to the plate and do this, but it's with connections morphing with every 100th point release, just like Norton Domino does, I think it's going to be difficult to keep it up to date. And there's so many moving parts. What database do I use? What LDAP do I use? Am I going to do Windows? Am I going to do Linux? Am I going to do AIX? There's so many moving pieces that I think it's difficult. But if they just said, okay, we're gonna show you how to install Connections 301 on a single server with Domino as the LDAP using all of the combined components, so DB2, network deployment, TDI, all on the same box, I think there's some value in that. And on their blog post, or on Paul's blog post where he announced this, there were some links out to stuff that I've used in the past, and they're close enough that you can scrape by, but I still think IBM needs to do a whole lot better job with this. But I commend Paul and Gab for at least trying. And Stuart, you can probably talk to this. You've done a show and tell on connections. You know how much work it is.
I do.
What do you think about this?
I think they're incredibly brave. And I also think it possibly would be a misstep. And the reason I say that is that I don't think it should have to be a community role. And you know, it talks to something of you said already, guys, but also Redbooks. You know, Redbooks were what did this before. You know, you had six real experts went to work in a IBM lab for 6 weeks or so on a paid or semi-paid basis and put this together. And it was a snapshot. It was a point in time of at 301 with these versions of the databases, this is how you did it or did some other task that the Redbook was about. And I think you then came away with something that was really useful and you could carry around, and that was the best practices guide of how you did it. The challenge, of course, with that was A, it was expensive for IBM to do, and B, as well, it was difficult to keep up to date. I think what Paul and Gab would do is to produce a modern version of that free of charge, you know, taking time out of their very, very busy paid lives doing this stuff for customers, and we would have the same problem. It would get left behind or, you know, it would change. You know, I've done probably six or seven connections installs in the last month. And I have to say my own method of installing connections has changed in that time. You know, it's evolved because it's such a complex beast with so many moving parts. Actually, you're continuously finding new and better ways to do it. I know Gab has done some big deployments of connections and Paul is getting into doing them. I've got a feeling that, you know, what they do today is not necessarily what they will do in 6 months' time. And I think it shouldn't be down to them or me or anybody else in the community to be doing that. I think it's got to be IBM that are producing such a complex and difficult to install product that need to do it. And part of the reason for that is that version 4 is just around the corner. You know, within probably the time it will take them to do these videos, version 4 will be upon us. And I tell you what, the whole process is going to change once again, in particular because they're adding in Cognos. And so, yeah, there's a whole new product to install and configure and manage as well. So it would be great if they did it, but I've got a feeling that it's not something that would be sensible for them to do long term.
And I can understand the desire for this because with the entitlement now, you've got files and profiles. I think what IBM don't necessarily make it known is you pretty much have to install everything just to turn files and profiles on. And I think if they were a bit more upfront about that, you know, there may have been a bit less excitement. So I understand why they kind of hid that. You know, and we're starting to see proof of technologies come along. I think there's one in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. If anyone wants to know, drop Lisa a line. She'll tell you when and where it is. But I want to point out, it connections is not an easy install if you are used to a Domino server, and if you've never done a WebSphere installation before, it's going to be a shock to the system. And even with good documentation, I would expect to get it wrong at least the first two or three times you ever do one.
The other side to this, and this may sound like protectionism from my perspective, yeah, as a business partner that does connections, yeah, you can take this with a pinch of salt if you wish. But you know, for those that have been doing this for a long time, right, we have come up with a way of making this work in 3 days or less. You can get a really good connections system deployed with, you know, best practices involved, documented, you know, ready to go. It can be hosted, whatever. I'm not sure the best way of doing this is to convince every customer, every Domino administrator, that they should be deploying connections. I think we're at a stage where it is complex enough that actually your best bet may well be to speak to your friendly IBM partner who knows connections, understands how it works, can deploy it either on-premise or in the cloud for you. And I think that's probably a better use of people's time versus skilling up in deploying connections just for the one internal connections deployment. Because I've seen enough badly deployed connections deployments that have been done by people, you know, within the company, that I'm just not sure that's necessarily a good thing to do.
And in the defense of that, you know, we've done a couple of proposals since the entitlement came out where people are interested in it. But even at 3 days, they're like, hang on, I thought this was free. Well, it is. The software is free. Yeah. But it's going to take an awful long time if you want to skill your people up to do this. I mean, I do a lot of WebSphere. I don't talk about it a lot because it gets me upset and I hit my head against the wall a lot. And even with me doing WebSphere when WebSphere first came out from IBM years and years and years ago, it still takes, like you said, Stuart, it still takes, you know, 16 to 24 hours to even get it open and usable. And I think that's a lot of time to invest internally for your people, because they are not going to get it done in that amount of time. I guarantee it. Because you need to be able to focus on it, because unfortunately with your day job, you're going to start, you're going to get 2 hours of connections done. Something else is going to pop up. You're going to come back 2 days later and you're going to forget which property file you were just editing, and all hell is going to break loose and you've got to start again. So I kind of agree with you, Stuart, but I can also see where the customers are getting a bit peeved that I thought this was free. Why isn't it that really free?
And how about you, Mike? I mean, you sit inside an organization. I don't know where your organization is with connections, but I mean, in similar organizations to yours, do you see it as something that a Domino admin is going to pick up and say, I can do this and I need some assistance from the community in doing it well? Or do you think it's something that would typically be subcontracted out to others?
Well, we are thinking about adding connections because our higher ups, they want some of the things that connections offers, and it would just be easier to put that in. And we have talked to people about implementing it, and we have some really good Notes Domino people in the company. And it's just it would just take too much time and too much effort, and there is too many new skills involved to concentrate on this. And you want this done right when it's done. Because it's hard enough to adapt something like this within an organization and to get people to use it. And if things don't work right, then it's gonna really slow the adoption or kill it, because people will say, oh, this doesn't work, or I don't like this, or whatever, and that'll be it. And you, a lot of times with these kind of things, you only get one chance to for people to like it and use it. And Connections is a great product, and if people use it, that and if it's done right, it will be popular, and people will use it.
And I think there's something else as well. I think we're in the middle of a confluence that, you know, the normal Domino administrator has been hearing since the first Mike running Reign of Terror, that it's a two-way street, and you better learn WebSphere. And I think it's becoming a pretty big realization to anyone who is just a Domino developer, a Domino administrator, that time is here and is now. And I think that might be another reason that the documentation is not a bad idea. But I still agree with Stuart. I think IBM need to fund this. I think they need to pay for the top six connections people on the planet to get in a room for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it takes, and write this. And then turn around and make it an IBM press book. I know there's an IBM press book for 2.5. There's not been one since then, right, Stuart?
No, there hasn't. You're right. I would tend to agree. I think there's some good experts out there in the community who can do this, but I think it needs to be an IBM-sponsored thing. And I think, as you say, you need to all get together in a room and agree what is the best way of doing this. You know, there is some good stuff on the wiki. Don't get me wrong. There's some sample deployment guides for small and medium deployments of connections. And actually, we used the one for the small deployment as the basis of our installing 301 show and tell at LoadSphere. So, yeah, it's good stuff, but it's quite limited in what it covers. So, yeah, there's definitely some space for improvement, no doubt at all. So, anyway, we'll see where this goes.
And I want to echo what Stuart said, that the wiki for the small deployment is excellent. The problem I have with it is it kind of already expects everything surrounding it, everything else is in place. And I think if you're new to it, you don't realize that between one paragraph and the next, that there is an understanding that something else has to be working before the next piece, before you hit next. Mm.
And there's just some assumed knowledge, you know, with all of these things, there's some assumed knowledge. I mean, just stuff like, you know, if you're a Domino person and you're now making Domino available as LDAP for connections, there's some basic stuff you've really got to do to make sure that LDAP is fast enough and reliable enough for you to run connections against it. And that kind of thing will never be covered in a connections install guide. It's got to be, you know, you've got to bring in the kind of more rounded knowledge that's involved in actually getting connections to work well.
And what the small business one of a small deployment we use, it's kind of funny. We get a lot of questions off customers about it because I think there's a sentence in there that says, make sure all nodes are started. And then it just goes on.
Yeah.
And then if all nodes aren't started, about 6 or 7 paragraphs later, nothing works. And you've got red X's everywhere. And we always get asked, well, how do we start the node? And I think it's simple stuff like that, that if that was added in, or if there was a, you know, some documentation that said, you know, okay, here's the basics of WebSphere as far as connection goes. This is where you go to start a node so that it all doesn't fail and you don't just wipe it out and start again, because you can go and start the node after the fact, and the installation doesn't do it by itself.
I think you're right. And then just to finish off on this, IBM's whole social business kind of platform right now, and you know, all the salesy stuff they're doing around social business being, you know, a really big play for the next 5 years, is effectively based on connections right now. Connections is the product within the whole suite that social business hinges on, and I think for social business as a bigger picture to be a success, we've got to get connections out to a wider section of the public. I think it's doing very well as a product, but I think it could do 10 times better than it's doing today. And IBM needs to do everything they can to make sure it's a success. And one of the major factors that would hinder success is deployment and ease of installation. And therefore, I think that's got to still be a really important part of every development they make around connections in the future.
It still kind of surprises me, but given the leaps and bounds they made with the same time installer, that they haven't went back and kind of bolted that on with connections. And I'm hoping in 4, they're going to do a whole lot more with Rational Deployment Manager, because I think that could take out a lot of the headaches.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. The other thing is there's RAFA Admin as well. Have you come across RAFW? I think it's Rational Application Framework, something like that, which allows you to deploy tools very much easier because you can script the deployment of those. That's worth a look if you're ever looking at deploying something quite complex like connections. It would be great if that was included as part of the bundle as well, because that would certainly help rapidly deploy connections in the future. Now, one of the big news stories of this week, of course, is you know, the minute Apple sneezes, you know, the whole web listens. There's a new iPad on the market. You guys seen the iPad 3, or is it the new iPad? I'm not quite sure which. Any thoughts on whether that's going to be a big player?
It will, because it's Apple. That's all I want to say. It's that there's not too many computer products that regularly make the evening news. You know, just the fact that they're out.
How about you, Dan?
I tried to buy one, but Apple's site kept crashing, so I gave up. it's going to be huge. It's the latest generation of the iPad. I think as Apple shareholders, they can all take a deep breath now that the post-Jobs era, at least for the foreseeable future, the next 2 or 2.5 years out, I think the empire is still golden. Apple are one of a few companies that when something new comes out, everybody throws out their old ones and go and buys a new one. So I think they've got the market already. whether or not, you know, there's been some talk on the radio in the States specifically about the conditions about the workers, and you know, the further surrounding the purchasing of this makes their conditions even worse because they have to work longer hours to fulfill the need that's going to happen on the 16th. So it's going to be interesting from a humanity standpoint about whether that is going to affect anything, because it's on a lot of radio stations, it's on a lot of TV over here about that, because they've just been outed on that. But it is Apple, it is going to be a big deal, you know, twice the resolution. You know, honestly, how much resolution do you need? I think this is probably the limit, because if the eye can't tell the difference, there's no reason to go higher. Battery life, it may be the selling point alone. A 4G, I think, is still a bit of a fake, especially with all of these carriers putting such severe limits. Hint, hint, cough, cough, AT&T.
It's only in North America as well.
Yes, right now. So, you know, I think that's a bit of a selling point, but I think it's a fake one. It's interesting to see Apple put it in, though, because they have resisted 4G for a long time, saying it would affect the design of the product. So obviously the 4G LTE providers went away and designed something that would fit right in with what Apple wanted. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see LTE in the next iPhone.
I'm sure it will come. I love the idea of the better resolution. You know, I've always been somebody who really values screen resolution. And actually, I've always found it weird that vendors, generally speaking, have marketed you know, laptops and tablets to a lesser extent based on speed of the processor or memory in them and not on the screen resolution. Because to me, there's no better way of improving one's productivity than to have more screen estate. Obviously, there's limits to that. You know, if the eye can't see the difference, then, you know, then maybe you're going too far. But, you know, I've been given a Lenovo ThinkPad by one of my current employers. And, you know, it's an i5, right? So it's a reasonably powerful laptop, T410. And it's got a 1280 by 800 resolution display, which to me just hinders the use of the whole machine. And so for Apple to now say, actually, we value screen estate on even a tablet to the point where they're putting, you know, 2000 pixels across in a screen, I think it's just amazing. I think it's tremendous that they're going that direction. And I can only imagine that with the next generation of Airs and MacBook Pros, they're going to do the same kind of thing on those platforms as well and go up to a, you know, retina style display so that your screen estate is available for all those new kind of apps they're bringing out.
And I think the laptop designers have kind of sat on their laurels for probably 7 years as far as the screens go. But their argument about, well, screen is one of the power suppers of a laptop kind of goes out the window when Apple can build an entire tablet that's going to last 10 plus hours and can stream movies during that time, allegedly, on 4G, you know, that argument goes out the window. The technology is there. You just got to go license it off someone and start putting it in your laptop. So I think you're right there, Stuart. I think the laptop manufacturers have to start to change. But there are diminishing returns. If the eye can't see it, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. But there was a post I saw this week that says that basically the iPad, you know, even the existing iPad 2, is the biggest selling laptop-style device out there. You know, they sell more iPads than HP sell laptops or Dell sell laptops or Lenovo sell laptops. That's a pretty staggering number. And as I think, Mike, you put in the show notes, it's got to be a push towards mobile development. If your company isn't mobilizing apps today, you've got to get on and start doing that.
Anyone who hasn't started learning mobile development, they need to get moving, because that's where it's all going.
Absolutely right.
That's where all the seminars are at. That's everything. Yeah. Yes, it is.
And Mike, while we have you on, we spoke about user groups at length last week, and apologies for the late delivery of that show, by the way, guys. We spoke to Theo and Matt about B-Lug and Oslug, respectively. I think there's an MW-Lug coming up this year as well.
Yes, there is. The Midwest Lotus Users Group is meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on August 15th through the 17th. And there's going to be 5 tracks: administration, application development, business case and strategy, new technology and integration, and social business. So there's a wide range of topics that we'll be covering on those days.
Fantastic.
And it's going to be in downtown Pittsburgh at the Omni William Penn Hotel, which is really a beautiful hotel. We got a really good deal on the rooms. Normally, the rooms are over $300 a night, and I think we're getting half that, maybe less than half that. So it's a great place. I mean, it seems like a great place to have a conference. I'm really looking forward to it.
Looks beautiful from the photos on the hotel website. I want to point out,
last year's MW Look photos were not of the hotel.
Okay. Darren, do you think you'll make it along to MW Look this year?
I am trying. We me and Lisa attended last year, and it is one of the best lugs that I've been to, if for no other reason, but it's not all technologically based. And there was, you get to hear some fascinating stories outside of a technology arena about social business. And the one I'm particularly thinking of is the guy that's trying to reduce the number of deaths in hospitals, which you think the hospitals would run at, but they all run away from it because they don't want to count how many people accidentally die in hospitals. So it's vastly interesting to get out from what we would normally attend. And MW Look is one of a few events that has a dedicated social business track outside of the normal quicker domino connections, blah, 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 blah. And I think it's worth going for no other reason than that. And every year it consistently sells out, right, Mike?
I don't know if it sells out, but we get almost 200 people, so it's really good. We're happy with the attendance, so, and we get a nice mix of people from all over. So it is great. The website should be up by the end of March. We'll see, and we hope to have a call for abstracts in mid-April.
Awesome. I look forward to finding out more about that as time goes on. I'm sure we'll have you and the rest of the team back on before then to talk about some of the more detailed planning for that. But that's great. So taste of the diary.
IBM, hint, cough, cough. That's 4 months between the abstract submission and the event. Yes. Even a lug can do this.
I didn't want to point that out, but yes, you're right. We are trying to get ahead and give people time to actually put something together and submit it and have time so we could respond and they could know. So
fantastic. Okay, well, great news, Mike, on that being re-announced for this year, and all links are in the show notes if you want to find out more about MW Lug 2012. And that brings us to the end of our topics for this week. Bit of a mixed bag, all good stuff. And we'll pass over to Darren for a tip.
I don't know if anyone's ever used this before, and it just suddenly occurred to me, is Notepad++. It's what Microsoft Notepad should have been when they first shipped it. It's open source. Actually, it might be just freeware, but the link is in the show notes. One of the first things I install on any new Windows laptop is Notepad++. Great lightweight text editor, color coordination of tags, so you know when you've screwed something up. Very recommended. If you've never seen it, go get it. It's way, way better than Notepad and Vi.
Thank you, Darren. And Mike, do you have a tip?
I have a tip, and it's a grand tradition of developers borrowing from one another. I saw this on a blog post from Mark Roden. It's called JS Beautifier. It's at a site called jsbeautifier.org. And what it allows you to do is take JavaScript code that's maybe all scrunched up. I know that's a technical term, but it's all scrunched up, and you could copy it and paste it in a window on the site, and it makes it more readable by adding indents and line breaks.
Fantastic. So, I'm going to have a look at that. It looks really...
Put somewhere you want to figure it. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really useful. Wonderful. Sorry. And Darren, you just mentioned you got another tweet bag. What was that?
Yes, so Don McNally just asked, and this is a very good question. Why does a tech podcast network use a .com address instead of a .net address?
It's a very good question. I'd have to ask the guys who run the tech podcast network. But you would have thought it should be a .net, shouldn't it? Maybe just they thought network and net in the same domain name. Maybe a bit confusing. Who knows? Who knows? But I do recommend, actually, it's worth mentioning, most people will probably just got used to that bit being at the beginning of the podcast, that, you know, we're a member of the Tech Podcast Network and all that kind of stuff. It is worth looking at some of the podcasts that are part of the Tech Podcast Network. There's some really good ones out there. And so maybe I'll put a link in the show notes to the rest of the Tech Podcast Network shows. And you can even get those on your Roku or your, you know, some of those other kind of boxes you can plug into your TV. So you can watch a lot of them direct on your TV as well now, which is kind of cool. And my tip is actually use VI. Whatever Darren says, using a text editor that requires you to use your mouse is hugely time-wasting. Use a proper text editor, one that actually works within the confines of your machine. And actually, just being serious for a moment, if you run connections, don't automatically think that running it on Windows is a good bet, because there's so many XML files that need to be edited as part of a connections install. Sometimes Linux is by far the best platform, I would say always, but even if you're a Windows person, do give some thought to whether actually running connections on Linux may be better within your environment. There's also a good blog post I found with some other text editors that work really well if you are on Linux, so I'll put that in the show notes as well. Gedit is one of those that I've tried. It's really good.
Yeah. I like Gedit.
Fantastic. And the other tip I was going to share is in terms of IBM connections. There's been some issues with using Chrome with connections version 3.0.1. Now, to be fair to IBM, it's not supported, right? There's only older versions of Firefox and IE and what's the other one? Safari that are supported. But your users will be using Chrome, right? Whatever you tell them to do, they'll be trying to use Chrome at least. And there's been an issue with files, and you couldn't download files from connections. And I did put a blog post up maybe a month or so ago about this. Well, the good news is that Sujuk Ursinus of Ilionics in the Netherlands, I hope I pronounced your name reasonably correctly, Sir Jack, has found a fix for this. And it basically requires you to add a line into the httpd.conf file in the HTTP server, which basically does a search and replace of URLs on downloads to set the headers correctly. And so I'll put a link in the show notes to that. I'll probably blog about it today as well. Fantastic tip by Sir Jack. And if you're running IBM Connections 3.0.1, it's definitely worth you putting that up, even if you don't think your users use Chrome, put it on there anyway.
And while we're talking about that, is it true that the files, embedded files for notes, doesn't work on 64-bit OSs?
I heard that talked about this week. I haven't seen that problem, but that doesn't mean it's not true. So if you've seen that issue, we'd love to know more about that. Maybe before next week, bring that up on maybe on the comments on the This Week in Lotus site, and we'll make sure we get the answer on that one. So, guys, thank you so much for the tips. Let's go around the table one more time. Darren, how do people find you?
blog.darrenduke.net for the blog. And Darren Duke, all one word, for my 140-character rants and my somewhat now famous Daz dictionaries.
Wonderful. And, Mike, how do people track you down?
I have a blog on the Bleed Yellow site. And the link is in the show notes. And on Twitter, I'm M McGarrell, MMCGAREL.
Awesome. Thanks for taking part today, Mike. Really appreciate you joining in. And
thank
good
you,
luck.
Guys.
Good luck.
It's been fun, as always.
Yeah, good luck with all the planning for MW Lug as well. I hope that goes really well. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre or on the blog at collaborationmatters.com. So thanks to everybody for taking part and also for listening. And we do value your feedback. So please do leave us some comments or tweet us on Twitter at This Week in Lotus. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.